Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR. Hey everybody, welcome to episode 94 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gil-Taka. Thanks for joining me again. Today on the podcast, we have so much to talk about, I guess, which is good and bad at the same time. You know, it was only a week ago that I did a podcast, and I planned just to do this one, just to announce the biggest project we probably have ever done. And that was it. And it was going to be really short. And as it turns out, there's so much has happened in the last week. We actually have a ton of stuff to talk about. So you get an extra podcast. Hopefully it's not too much and you're getting sick of these. But I don't know. It is what it is. There's a lot of pieces moving right now. So before we get started, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. So thank you to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We truly appreciate it. You can check them out at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And also our friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. We truly appreciate their support. You can check out all of their great work over at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. All right. So I've got a whole list. I'm going to bring Wilson on fairly quickly. And we've got a lot of stuff to go through. We're going to talk a little bit about the Section 39 certificate that the government filed in the CCFR et al. Versus Canada. And we're also going to draw for the winner of this month's Light Up 2021 neon sign, right? Somebody won this this month as well. We're doing it every month if you haven't heard of that before. And it's a free entry. If you just donate $10 or more to the CCFR, you get free entries into this contest. Just some way that we can thank all of you for your just incredible support and allowing us to do the big things like what I'm going to tell you about in a minute. And we're also going to make a couple of comments on this big project when I get Wilson on. But unfortunately, I have to tell you about it first. So this is probably the biggest project we've ever done from a public relations perspective. And what it is we have a redevelopment of gundebate.ca. You know what? I'm going to show that to you. Hang on. I didn't plan to do that, but I'm going to do that anyway. Hold on. All right. So check this out. I'll share my screen with you. Okay. So here's the redeveloped gundebate.ca. It's got a brand new video by our friend, Matt Magelin, who's working for the CCFR right now. He did a great job of this introductory video. And basically just says, here's what the real issues around gun control and the gun debate in Canada are. You got to watch it. It's excellent. He did a really, really great job on it. And then, and this is meant, you know, largely for non-gun owning Canadians. So at least they can come here and get some accurate information, some true, verified, real information on both sides. You know, unlike the anti-gunners, we don't just tell our side of the story. We tell both sides because that's the truth. That's what it is to be honest and straightforward and, you know, whatnot. So there's a bit of everything here, Gun Ban Canada Exposed, and even some mainstream media stuff that's really important. This is a great piece by the CBC. We link directly to their video on YouTube, but really, really a good thing to watch. If you want to know what the real answer is to gun violence, watch this. The CBC got it right a while ago once. So anyway, that's gundebate.ca. And what's going to drive non-gun owning Canadians there, which is really important. I mean, we can have these resources here, but people aren't going to go there unless you do something to get them over there. And basically what we've done is we have contracted 66 electronic billboards across the country. We're going to do it for 6 months, but we've compressed it to 3 months. And I'll tell you why that is. But basically we've done huge things before, right? Like the newspaper campaign, 68 full pages of content in 17 newspapers across the country. That was the biggest public relations project in the history of gun owners in Canada. This one, I think, is even bigger. So now basically 3 months, this is going to show up in 66 locations across Canada. And we're hoping to drive non-gun owners over. That's a real picture. Matt Magelin took that picture yesterday, actually. So, which is really great. If you look at this this story on firearmrights.ca. If you go there, we give you all the billboard locations too. So if you want to go check out those billboards yourself, then you can go do that. So that's where we're at. Quite a few in Ontario, but so this is what I wanted to explain actually. So I got emails like, hey, you know, are we strategically placing these ads in important areas, especially in the GTA? And here's the deal with that. Every single billboard agency that we could find in Canada, none of them would allow us to put our message up there. If you look at what we're doing, we're not advocating for legalizing heroin that's currently illegal or anything. We're just saying, hey, the guns that we own right now, we should continue to be able to own because we're vetted, safe Canadians. That's all the CCFR is really doing, right? And it's a legal activity. Legally, you know, so gun stores are legally regulated, government regulated. Like, this is not controversial, but we've been refused to be worked with by all kinds of groups, okay? One of the biggest ones, Pattison. And how Pattison did it is they said, oh, if you want to do this, you have to buy entire markets. Like, we're talking like $500,000 a month kind of thing. And, you know, we know what's going on, right? Obviously with those things. There's a number of other companies that said, oh, you know, you guys are such horrible people, so evil that we won't work with you. We won't do business with you. Now, as you guys know, there are major banks in Canada that close gun store accounts that these people have had for 20, 30 years, just all of a sudden send them a letter and say, you got 2 weeks to find other arrangements because it's not consistent with our values to do business with you. Like, a legal gun store is licensed by the Canadian government, by the RCMP. So, you know, we've had IT companies not want to help us, said, well, nope, we don't help gun organizations. The level of bigotry is absolutely astounding. Okay, just astounding. And you know what? That kind of bigotry, that kind of discrimination for no good reason, like, we're not an illegal group or anything like that. Our rhetoric isn't even that bad, right? And for that to happen is one thing, but not only is it tolerated, and for a lot of the media, it's the same thing. And not only is it tolerated, it's encouraged and seeded and actually flourishing under the Trudeau government. Bill Blair says all extremists are in the gun lobby, like all of them. Every act of terrorism and extremism in Canadian history obviously just goes right back to the gun lobby. Like, this is where we are in this country. This country's in serious trouble, right? When you have governments that talk like that, they're supposed to be the calm voice that says, okay, people, you know, we're going to provide some leadership here. You guys are getting a little excited. It's the other way around. They're whipping people into a frenzy. I mean, we got called, I don't know if I mentioned on the podcast before, we got called a death cult by an MLA or MPP or whatever the hell they have in Manitoba. Like, he called us a death cult. That was in the doctor's feed when they were, again, trying to whip people into a frenzy to make them think that we're some kind of devils or whatever. And, you know, extremists and devils and terrorists and death cult members, you know, my wife and kids would be pretty shocked to find out that I'm involved in an organization like that, wouldn't they? So anyway, what I wanted to explain about this program is we wanted to do a contest, right? Where you'd get, if you can snap a picture and post it to social media of one of our billboards, you'd get a free entry into a contest. We're still going to do the contest. But what I wanted to explain is the way that electronic billboards are sold and marketed in Canada now is that they've mimicked the business model of online advertising. So you're not buying space on a billboard really, like you are, but you're not, you're buying impressions. So there's a very complex algorithm. This is really cumbersome for customers. Well, most customers, right? And it's makes it a lot easier for the businesses, right? To say, well, you know, we're going to sell you 1 million potential sets of eyeballs over all of these markets. And depending on the package that you buy or how much money you spend, it's random that, you know, some days, you know, your message won't appear on 20 of those 66 billboards, but on 46 other ones. And then for a week, it'll be on there every, you know, 10 seconds, every 2 minutes, you know, on all of them or just a handful of them. And then they're on all of them, you know, every 5 minutes, like, it's all over the place. So it's been really difficult to make, you know, our contest work. And we ended up getting 3 great prize packs, one from Calgary Shooting Center and 2 more from our friends over at Firearms Outlet Canada. And so we got stuff to give away, So we're going to launch this contest as soon as we can. But basically, 66 billboards intermittently. We spend a pile of money on this, and it's actually showing on billboards. And as you can see here, I'm going to put this back one second. There we go. As you can see, the message is, "Can you handle the truth? Gundebate.ca." And I think that's a really effective message because it's not inflammatory. It doesn't really tell you what side, you know, it's not partisan as far as the gun debate is concerned. And hopefully that'll be really attractive to people if they're curious about that, or they might think it's an anti-gun, you know, campaign, right? And they'll go there and say, yeah, you know, I agree with this anti-gun thing. I need more information so I can, you know, get online and fight these horrible gun owners, right? How terrible people they are. So someone's got to stand up against them, apparently, like the docs say. they're so crazy. But yeah, anyway, that's what we've done. And so we're hoping to get a lot of traction and a lot of traffic over to gundebate.ca and watching the videos and stuff, and really spread the accurate information that gun owners are just regular Canadians. This has been going on for hundreds of years in Canada, like literally hundreds of years. As I've said in the past, right, it's even in the Canadian Firearm Safety Course manual that Canadians have had guns since the late 1500s in Canada, right? Well, I guess they weren't Canadians yet, but, you know, like hundreds of years in Canada, we've had guns. And when it comes to semi-autos and handguns, like well over 100 years, right? This is not new. This is not unreasonable. It's not a disproportionate risk to public safety. It's none of those things. So Canadians, if we want to live in a fair society, a free and fair society, then Canadians need real information. They need the truth, not hate speech from the Minister of Public Safety or twisted gaslighting from a group of activist doctors. It's not right. It's not right. And if you're not sure whether it's actually right, or am I, you know, lying to you or whatever, just look at the fact that, as I've said before, they'll roll under a moving vehicle to avoid a debate with us, right? They'll debate people on Twitter, but they'll never sit in a room with me for some reason, even if I offer them $15,000 to charity to do it, right? So, you know, there's your answer. Anyway, okay. So I wanted to make this quick. I'm not going to take up any more time. I'm going to bring on Wilson, and we will get the rest of this work done. All right, on the Skype, I have Wilson.
Giltaka!
Well, Wilson!
Wilson!
You know, I wanted to, when you're creating something like this, you're like, oh, you know, what should look like? What should be like the just basically the approach, right? The tenor, the feel. And I thought, you know, when I brought you on, I would do the flash the little scene from Castaway when Tom Hanks is screaming, Wilson! And the basketball's, you know, floating away. And I was like, you know, that might be a little bit too much. So... anyway.
Oh, I don't know. I think it'd be perfect because every time you call me, that's exactly how it goes. We don't just do this on our podcast. That's a regular everyday occurrence. So it just makes me laugh because I know something's wrong if I answer the phone and you don't say, Wilson.
Yeah. If I'm like, hey, Tracy. And you're like, oh my God, what?
Yeah. what's on fire? Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, and I've looked at that. Went on YouTube and looked at that clip more than once. I'm like, I'm going to do it. And I'm like, no. Anyway.
Oh, I think you should. I think it'd be funny.
I don't know. Maybe next episode I'll do it just for fun.
Okay. Just for fun.
We'll see.
Because we're fun people.
Yeah. I think so.
I think so. Mm-hmm.
All right. So what do we have to talk about? Okay. So the first thing is, well, as you may or have already guessed, I already talked about the biggest project we ever did, public relations wise, which is the 66 billboards across the country. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting, actually. Matt, who works for us, he's been kind of spearheading this project, which is great. He actually drove around and he found one of the billboards and he sat there and waited for our thing to come up and he sent me a picture. And that's the picture I used actually in the web story when we kind of put a release out about it. So it's just, I don't know, it's really cool. I'm going to have to go find some too because I want to see them too. I want to get a selfie, you know, one of the billboards.
Well, the way I just mentioned all this, so everybody that's listening already knows this, but the way that they sell electronic billboards, it's so difficult. It's great for the companies that are like, yeah, I want to buy 3 million impressions. Here's your money. And they're like, oh, just take our word for it. You'll see 3 million, 3 million eyeballs have the potential opportunity to see that. Right. Whereas for us, we want to be like, I want to go to this intersection and see my ad to make sure it's running. And it's like, it's very difficult to do that. So it may be a bit of a, you know, trying to locate a liger and getting a picture of it. Right.
But that's okay. I'm always up for a challenge.
Yeah. Just stand there at billboards for weeks. Oh, I got a free entry. Anyway, more to come on that contest when we get that organized. We're really close, but I got to figure out an easier way for people to snap a picture for that. Anyway, so very exciting. We've never done anything this big. It's just, it's really great. And maybe if I were to just say anything, we keep upping the bar at the CCFR. We're trying everything. We're trying to be the most obstructionist, give the liberals the hardest time for taking our guns and trying to fight back in every way we can. And we couldn't do it without all of you guys trusting us and supporting us financially. So we have the money to throw around. So we can go to these companies and say, yeah, bam, you know, I'll put $200,000 down on this thing. And they're like, oh, the powerful gun lobby.
And that's something that gun owners have been asking for all along. I think since we started the CCFR, people have been talking about billboards and we've looked at it multiple times now. Of course, it's incredibly expensive and difficult and hard to choose a message that a company will put up, right? Like we, you know, the things I want to say and the things I'm allowed to say are always two separate things. But I really do like the end result of this because it says, you know, can you handle the truth? Gundebate.ca. And what that does is, you know, those of us in the know that know what gundebate.ca is, we know what it is and who put it there. But the majority of Canadians aren't going to know that. It could be pro-gun, it could be anti-gun, it could be somewhere in the middle. And I think that's the idea, is to drive people there. They're going to get hard, honest truth. And that's something that's been lacking in this conversation since inception. So, yeah, I think it's great. Sure.
Yeah. So, yeah. And we'll see how it goes. I mean, the proof of whether or not this was successful is the analytics that we'll pull off the website, how many unique visitors we've had, how many views on these videos, all the rest of that stuff. So,
yeah, all right. I'm excited.
Okay. So what else do we have on the agenda here? Well, we have to draw for this month's winner of the Light Up 2021 Neon Sign Contest. But first, you had to notify the last guy that won, Justin.
Right. This is a good story. So as you know, maybe some listeners know, I'm sort of in the process of moving, which is a big undertaking with a 3-bedroom house. And of course, you know, the majority of CCFR office stuff, right? So here I am packing stuff up and I'm like, oh man, I've been delinquent in getting that sign out. I mean, I think we drew for it a couple of weeks ago, right? And I thought, I got to get this sign out. And I'm like, who won it again? You know, it's so much going on that I just can't keep things straight lately. So I go back and I watch our podcast where we drew for the winner and I get the name and okay, Justin from BC. And, you know, I thought, okay, well, I need his shipping information and I want to contact him just to make sure that he hasn't moved or nothing's changed, right? Because it's pretty expensive to ship these. And, you know, it takes a little bit of time to get there. So I look him up in the CRM and I recognize the email address and I'm like, that's Justin from Just Incredible. And I'm like, it's just really neat to see a name that you recognize. I mean, we've got, you know, a lot of supporters from all across the country and sometimes people win things and I don't necessarily recognize their name. They may not be active in our social media group or whatever. So it was just really cool. So I sent him a message and I'm like, hey, buds, are you Justin from whatever? And I knew it was, right? So he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, do you listen to the podcast? And he's like, well, I do, but you know, I just haven't really had time lately. So I've been saving them up and I'm going to binge listen. And I'm like, well, I would suggest you get on that because you won these, Firearm Rights Are Human Rights neon sign, the great big 3-foot ridiculous neon sign. He's like, no way. So I sent him a couple pictures of it. And I'm like, I am literally wrapping it up in my kitchen right now. I had to build a box for it because it's enormous. Nothing I have fits it, right? So I had to build a crate to ship it to him in. And of course, I ended up, because I've been moving and packing, I ended up snagging the hardware from this one. So anyways, I got it all shipped out to him and he received it within 3 days. He sent me a picture of it. He is just loving it. He had just bought a new property in British Columbia up on the side of the mountain. He's doing this whole homesteading thing. He's got like a fire-powered outdoor hot tub. Like it's just a really cool pad, right? So he's like, this will absolutely be perfect in the cabin. So I don't know. I just think it's so fun when it's somebody that you knew from social media, right? So
yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. All right.
So well, don't worry. When I draw for this one, you're getting brand new hardware. I've got boxes of it. It's just in storage right now. So I got to get at it next week.
That's why it's not turned on.
That's why it's not on today, because I had to steal the plug for it. So
yeah.
I do have a plug for it. And of course, it will be shipped complete with the remote and all the gadgets that go with it. But I think everybody's seen this one a million times. So it's a lot of fun. And this one I will be particularly sad to say goodbye to.
All right. So let's go over to the neon sign draw. So
okay.
As we, because we got to get this month's winter done and, you know, time is wasting. So we've got from row one all the way to row 13-12. Okay. One through 13-12. Okay. Random.org 1 through
13-12.
13-1-2. Okay. Here we go.
Here we go.
Bam. 8-8-4. 8-8-4.
Exciting.
8-8-84. Johnny from Richmond Hill, Ontario. I'm going to turn this off and I'm going to say Johnny's last name, but I hide everybody's name just to try to be.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Hold on. Boom. It is Johnny. Johnny Lamb.
Awesome.
You've won the These guns are not for sale, right? The one that's behind you. That's the one for this month,
that's
right?
That's exactly it. He's getting this exact sign. Yeah.
That's awesome.
These guns are definitely not for sale, Bill Blair.
You know, by the behavior of the government, it's going to be increasingly difficult for them to get people to comply with what they're saying, the way they're behaving. So yeah, these guns definitely are not for sale. Okay.
That's right.
Yeah. That's awesome. Congratulations, Johnny. All right. Next thing. Okay. Bill C-71, the measures are going to be implemented in the late summer and fall. So says the Liberal government.
Yeah. So Public Safety put out a notice. I guess you've got some Liberal senators who have been poking them, wondering when the measures within C-71 would be implemented. Of course, you remember C-71 received royal assent in 2019. So it's been sitting idle ever since. You know, as typical with this government, they like to pretend they're doing things and not actually do them. This time I wasn't complaining about it. However, they did say that the preliminary measures in relation to when you go to a gun store and buy a gun, or buy a gun even from another person, that measure where you would have to contact the CFO, verify their PAL, they'd have to verify yours. And then, of course, you would get a registration number for that transaction, you know, and that would be kept with the registrar.
Reference number, yeah.
That those measures, they say, are going to come into power, like be implemented this summer, and everything else in the bill in the fall. So, I mean, they're saying that. We'll see. I almost feel like it's an election tease, sort of, right? Like, although they used C-71 as bait for an election last time and to garner support from, you know, the far left anti-gun type people, they passed the bill and then did nothing with it, right? It's been sitting on the table ever since, and nobody's looked at it again. So saying, you know, well, we're gonna finally do it, like in the fall, maybe. I think I can see the possibility of that being another enticement. Vote for us, and we'll finally implement that bill from the last time. So, and of course, the anti-gunners just fall for it every time, like clapping seals. So we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. So just so people understand, right? If that provision is implemented, for you to give, for a father that has a PAL, a current valid PAL, to give their son or daughter who has a current valid PAL, one of their firearms, a non-restricted firearms, just like the long gun registry, you got to call the firearms program. They have to endorse that transfer. They're going to give you a reference number, and then they're going to keep that information forever. Right.
Yeah, so with the registrar.
If you didn't like the long gun registry as a casual, you know, firearm owner or a hunter, then you should be absolutely furious about this aspect. But again, the liberals, they just gaslight people. It's like, it's not a registry, but you have to register that transaction and the people involved.
Yeah, and it's in the legislation, it literally says that information is to be kept with the registrar.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what does a registrar keep? Like, I don't know.
Usually registries. Okay, so.
Crazy.
And I think the last thing we got to talk about is our friends over at Fundy Shooting Sports raised some money for us. And we, you know what? Let me preempt that just for 1 second. We don't take time out to talk about everybody. And so many people have done so much for the CCFR. So if we mention somebody in particular, please don't take it as an offense that we didn't mention you in particular or your gun club. A lot of people have given us money. This was just kind of a neat little story. So we really appreciate it. So we thought we'd mention it. So just wanted to add that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the clubs and shops and gun owners from across the country have really stepped up, and literally every penny counts, right? Whether it's $5, $500, $5,000, it every little bit helps, and we need it all. So I was contacted by David Green from Fundy Shooting Sports a while back, and he said, look, you know, the club really wants to do something. We're kind of a smaller club, so we don't have a lot of resources, but we were thinking about doing a fundraising match, and people would, you know, pay to enter the match, and we'd have some fundraising going on during the match and see if we can, you know, scrounge up some money to add to the donation, the $2,000 donation from the club itself. So I said, that sounds like a great plan. Why don't I send you out a couple t-shirts and hats? You can throw that on your prize table or whatever, right? Use that to help encourage people to participate. So here they are out in New Brunswick, smaller club. And they ended up raising a whopping $3,000 at that fundraising shooting match to add the $2,000 donation that the club was giving, for a total of $5,000 to the CCFR Legal Challenge. Just so awesome. So a big thank you to David Green, Fundy Shooting Sports, all their members and supporters, and everybody who made it out to the event. That's just fantastic.
It is. It is. Thanks so much, guys, for you know... Yeah, I say this all the time. Everybody's like, oh, here he goes again. But it's so meaningful because these are hard times, and people are donating in uncertain times too, right? Like, you know, from a lot of perspectives, Canada is in pretty steep decline, and people still find it in their hearts and find enough confidence in us, right? Enough trust in us to say, you know what? I should be squirreling away all my money right now because things are weird. But you know what? I've got money to give to the CCFR because they do big stuff and they need that money if they're going to continue to do big stuff. And just that's how they approach their relationship with us. And I couldn't be more grateful for that.
Yeah. And it is extremely meaningful when people get together, put in the effort to host an event. And, you know, those of us who have hosted stuff realize the amount of work that it takes to put together an event and plan it out and organize it and execute it. And of course, usually at clubs and most organizations like that, it's done by volunteers. So all that personal time and effort that they're putting in on top of throwing money at a problem is exceptionally meaningful to me, because I get it, man. I put in a lot of time too. And to see people doing that on top of their work and everything else as a volunteer is just, it's just great.
It is. Awesome. So thanks everyone over there at Fundy Shooting Sports and everyone that donated. And yeah, I think that's about it for now, right?
Yeah, we'll probably have some stuff coming up. We're waiting for Justice Gagné to react to the liberals hiding their evidence. Of course, just to let everybody know, I know a lot of people are asking, is O'Toole out on this? Does everyone know about it? I have been on the phone all morning speaking to opposition politicians and their staff. So yeah, they're on it. Of course, we're all waiting with bated breath to see how Justice Gagné reacts to it. But at the end of the day, it makes me wonder what is in that evidence or not in that evidence that is so, you know, top secret that it must be denied to a Associate Chief Justice of the Federal Court.
Well,
I don't know.
I think most people would agree, and you know, and like I have my opinion that there is nothing. They have nothing. So
I think that's why they're hiding it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I mean, this is just typical bad behavior, because you know what? We didn't talk about that. I said out in the outset we would, but just I'll give the background, like 1 minute of background, and then we'll wrap it up because we're getting on in time. But basically, when the government responded to our claim and the other five or six claims, against them for oddly enough, abusing the OIC, the Order and Council. The government didn't file anything. They could have filed a Section 39 certificate right then and there, but they didn't. Mm-hmm. And because they thought they could just be like, yeah, screw yourself. What are you going to do? Which is how they behave all the time, right? This Liberal government. It's horrific, right? So then we submitted our evidence. They submitted nothing. They said, oh, this is what you get. You get a copy of the OIC and one affidavit, right? it's like, what are you going to do? We're the government. What are you going to do? Right? We run everything. And then we petitioned the judge to say, no, we have to have this evidence. The government has to prove that they did this in good faith. Then they said it's cabinet privilege. Then the judge says we filed a motion to compel them, get the judge to compel them to provide the evidence. We won that. She, compelled them to provide the evidence. Only she would see it and decide what is too sensitive for public disclosure. And then they came after that, after they had lost, they came with their Section 39 and frustrated the judge's order. So long story short, is this a bad thing? It's actually a good thing for our case because the judge can declare this to be an adverse inference, meaning that the government probably either doesn't have any evidence or the evidence that they have would not be beneficial to their case. If the judge decides to go that route, then what happens is she judges the outcome based on the merits she sees in front of her. So we have provided, 2,000, 2,500 pages of evidence and 17 affidavits and, all kinds of stuff. And the government's provided a copy of the OIC and an affidavit from Murray Smith, right? So,
right.
I mean, we should win that because the question is the AR-15 and all of these other centerfire semi-automatic rifles and shotguns appropriate for hunting and sporting use? The answer is absolutely. The proof is we've been doing that for 100 years, whatever it is, right? With the AR-15 since the 60s, so it's a, to me, it's a slam dunk. But again, this is a very complex thing, but it does not hurt our case. It actually helps it. So that's the long and short of it.
Well, and that's it. And I mean, you're right. If they had filed the Section 39 right from the beginning, then it may have had a little more merit. But at this point, filing it now, after the judge compelling them to provide the evidence, it looks more retaliatory than anything. So,
well, it looks like a toddler,
it doesn't
right?
look so great for the government.
Yeah.
And Justice Gagne is a really, really smart, really accomplished Associate Chief Justice. And I'm not sure I would have given her the finger like that, but we shall see.
Well, we'll see. Anyway, thanks for the update and we'll see you next time.
All right. We'll talk soon.
All right, that's going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Thanks, Tracy, for coming on and giving us an update. Congratulations to the this month's winner of the Light Up 2021 contest. If you want to enter that, I put a link in the description box below to donate $10 or more or increments of 10 to get free entries into this draw. And so you can follow that if you want to make a small donation of the CCFR, make it so that we can continue to do big things like we're doing. If you want to become a member, you can do that at firearmrights.ca. You can donate there as well. Thanks to our sponsors, Vortex, the Force of Optics, and our friends over at the Sask Rivers chapter of Safari Club International for continuing to support the podcast. We appreciate that. Thanks, everyone, and we'll see you in a couple of weeks.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.